Lord, today is going to be a joyous day. We do pray for a hedge of protection, Father, over our baptism candidates. Lord, I pray that the people in this congregation would blanket them in prayer, as the enemy is not going to stand idly by while we do this today, Lord. And yet, you promise in your word, Jesus, that at the name of Christ, the devil flees. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we would be charged up, that our batteries would be full. Lord, that we would experience the joy of the celebration of this amazing act of baptism, Father, and that through this, we would be unified as a body. And that these men and women who are taking this step of faith today, God, that this would be just the gateway to a deeper, stronger relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Chris. I appreciated Chris's prayer, and specifically, and I challenged the baptism candidates with this right off the get-go. Pay no attention to the man with the torch. That'll come into play a little bit later. He's not trying to burn us down, okay? So just hang tight with that. Hold on. Is this better? Thank you, Joey. I'm going to try to, and you can bump me up, Joey, too, if I need to override the sound of that map torch. But I appreciate Chris's prayer in that our candidates, the challenge of it is the Satan doesn't like this. With what we're going to encounter today, Satan has a very real issue with it, and he hates it. He hates every part of it. And yet we will follow the Lord, and we're going to do this anyhow. And I've seen some of that stuff take place throughout this last week, even in the midst of our own home with it, but also for those who have been trying to get here this morning with flat tires and such. And I just am convinced that, you know, we're not going to let Satan derail this really cool thing that's going to happen here today. So you guys are going to be celebrating with me and with these baptisms and candidates as we get going. June 24th, 2000, I had a ring placed on my finger by my wife. She was crazy at the time, crazy in love. And since then, I'm sure she's even more amazed at this wonderful piece of manhood here. But you know what's interesting is, so this ring was placed on my finger over 20 years ago, and it means something. It's not just this empty piece of metal, but it actually, it slid on my finger and it points to something. So now as I walk around and people see this, they can identify something right off the get-go. It's like, oh, you belong somewhere. You belong to someone. You belong to something. And that is to my wife. She wears one as well. Just for posterity's sake, I put on another ring on my hand that I haven't worn in many years. But this is my high school class ring. I know, you're all amazed that it still fits. It's on, it may not come off. But the reality of this also points to something, that I belong somewhere, to a group of just under 100 people that graduated from the same high school at the same time. That can't really be taken away. It belongs to somewhat me, and I belong to them. I also brought my high school letterman's jacket. That's right. Several buttons have been popped in this over the past. But my high school letterman's jacket, it means something. It signifies something. It points to something. I mean, when I wear this, it refers and reminds me back to what I used to be. And now I wear it to, again, remember and maybe wish I was everything that I used to be. Perhaps more athletic, perhaps more flexible, perhaps more hair. But they mean something. Branding. It's what we find all over our culture. You find it everywhere. So, for instance, what is this? McDonald's. There's no word here that says McDonald's, but you guys look at it, you understand the branding nature of it. You understand exactly what that means. Hey, when your kids see that, guess what they want to do? They want to go to McDonald's. What about this one? Chevrolet. Notice I didn't include Ford. I'm sorry. My father-in-law was a Ford engineer for many years, but I grew up as a Chevy guy. It's been a bone of contention somewhat. However, he's a good guy, good engineer, and I have driven Fords since then, but just not lately. See what I did there? That's right. Some of you caught it, some of you didn't. What about this one? Ted, where are you? Huh? That's right. You got to be honest, Ted. You're the only reason I put this in here. I have no other reason to put this in here. Ted is diehard Dodge, because Dodge is supposedly die hard, okay? But Google, right? I mean, just by this image, you can identify. It's like, I know what that is. That points to something. It associates with something. Apple, and that's just the shape, right? No, it's a company. It's astounding. Nike. I remember in high school, and it's still the case, I don't understand all the dynamics when it comes to brands, when it comes to what is popular, what is the niche, what fits and what doesn't fit. But this idea of Nike has been around for seemingly ever. In 1985, Michael Jordan released the Air Jordans, okay? And I remember in school, it's like everyone wanted these. Even if you didn't play basketball, it was irrelevant. You wanted Nike Jordans. And if you couldn't have them, you at least wanted Nike shoes. You wanted to have that branding symbol on your foot, because then as you walked around school, you wouldn't be made fun of. Instead, sometimes you'd go to school wearing Walmart specials. And you were mocked and you were teased. I remember in 1989, they came out with a new technology. It was really something. Reebok that made it. So you put on your basketball shoe, and on the top of your tongue on your basketball shoe, you remember this? There's a little round orange basketball that was a pump. You pump up your shoes. Then you could jump higher, and you could run faster and do all this stuff. Magical shoes. You wanted to have the magical shoes, but instead you didn't have magical shoes. You had generic shoes, and you were mocked, and you were made fun of. It's interesting. That's not that much different than what Paul talks about in Corinthians. It's an interesting concept. So Paul, in this church in Corinth, he had gone and he had established a church, but people looked at him and people looked at the rest of the church and they think, you're nuts. You don't conform to what the world has. You're crazy. What you say doesn't make sense. You're a lunatic. And in fact, we see some of this language that comes in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, if we are out of our mind, Paul's addressing this, saying, hey, you say I'm crazy. You say I've lost my mind. You say I am literally loony. He says, you say we're out of our mind. Okay, if we're out of our mind, as some say, we do it for a reason. We do it for the Lord. In fact, in earlier book, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28, Paul also writes, he says, God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. He chose the Walmart specials instead of the Nike Air Jordans and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. In other words, when we have that relationship with God, when we understand who he is, then everything else is kind of irrelevant. The Nike Air Jordans don't matter anymore. Now all that matters is who I'm following, who I'm serving, whether I'm wearing Walmart specials or not, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Verse 14 in 2 Corinthians 5 says this, look at this. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. You want to know why I'm crazy? Because I have a different standard by living. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. We don't live for the Air Jordans anymore. We don't live for the popularity. We live for something that is much greater. But for him who died for them and was raised again, look at this. And baptism candidates, I want this to resonate within you as you step into the waters today, because this is significant. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. You know what that means? Sometimes there's a misconception of what baptism is. Sometimes we believe when we get into the water, basically what that means is, now I've been washed, I've been cleansed. No, that's not what this baptism is about. That's not the point. The point of it is, before you even step into the water, this verse is true. You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Verse 18 says, all of this is from God. He reconciled us. We didn't have this relationship with him. We had severed it. He restored the relationship. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. I'm having trouble. Help me out, Joey. I think I pushed the wrong button. It's my fault. Is it locked up? There we go. Thank you, gentlemen. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Are you reconciled with God? God made him who had no sin to be for us, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here's what it boils down to. Baptism is a symbol. It's not something that washes away your sin. It's not some ritual that's like, there, now I'm right with God. Sometimes people have chosen to follow Christ. They're like, you know, I need that next step in me. I don't know if I'm ready for that next step. If you've chosen to follow Christ, you know what this step basically means? It's saying, I'm a big M on my chest. I'm from McDonald's. You know, you go, you work for McDonald's. You got the emblems everywhere you go. That's what this is. This is your picture. You know, the thing of it is, and we see this in Ephesians chapter 1. And he says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard this message of truth. So when you heard this message of truth, when you heard the gospel for the first time, those 11 people that are going to come and be baptized today, when they heard that message and they said, yes, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, watch what happens. The gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. You can't see the seal. The seal is the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can see the fruit of the Spirit, but the reality of it is, there's nothing that really emphasizes and points, hey, this is where you belong. We know we belong because we have the Holy Spirit in us, but it's very difficult to see. So what is baptism? Baptism basically is taking our lives and saying, all right, Lord, it's time. I'm allowing you to reveal yourself in me, through me, as I follow you in the waters of baptism. It got quiet in here. That's our symbol. And so what baptism is, it's basically saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And when you get into the water, it lets everyone else who's watching know, oh, you've been branded. That's who you belong to. This act of symbolism basically says to everyone else who's watching, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I don't care who knows it, you're branded. So guess what? We have 11 reasons to celebrate this morning. And I'm going to start off with Cora. Flat tire and all, Cora is here. Come on up, Cora. Here's how this is going to work. Come right over here, Cora. Cora is going to share with us briefly an answer to a question. And then, Joetta, you're speaking on Cora's behalf. So each baptism candidate not only is going to tell you that they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they're also then going to have someone who's going to speak words of encouragement to them. And then what's going to happen, they're going to get in this big, warm, you want to feel it? It's really warm. I put in hot water. I will say, some people have asked me to put ice in there. We'll do that before Brody. Okay. So, we're going to have Cora get in. We're going to baptize her in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it cleanses her? Absolutely not. Because she is a new creation. And she's going to let you see that she's a new creation in Jesus Christ. And she's going to allow you to see that symbol that Jesus Christ has placed on her in her life. Okay? So, Cora, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Say it louder.
Yes.
Excellent. And you're choosing to be baptized today to show people that you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
All right. Joetta.
Hello, my name is Joetta, and I am a friend of Cora's, and she called me this week and asked me to speak on her behalf. So Cora explained to me how she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I might be taking a few liberties in my storytelling here, but this is how I imagined that it went. After supper one night, great-grandma Linda took you back to the dining room table for some girl talk. You didn't want to do the dishes anyway, so you gladly accepted that invite. Is that right? It is. Okay. As you sit down, great-grandma pulls out a package of Nutter Butter cookies. And you were like, whoa, how did those come? Where did they come from? And you, let me tell you, grandmas just know where to find the good stuff, right? They know. And then the good stuff starts, the serious conversation. And she asked you if you've ever invited Jesus Christ into your heart. That very evening, with Grandma Linda, or Great-Grandma Linda, by your side, you prayed and invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That was your choice, wasn't it? And then, later on this past summer at Big Sandy Camp, there was an altar call. And you chose, in front of all your friends, to stand up and go forward. As you told me these stories, one word stuck out. Chose. How old are you, Cora? 7 years old. You know, as a seven-year-old, do you feel like you're told what to do a lot? Yeah. You know, we as parents tell you when to get up, what to have for breakfast, what to wear, what to do. But I don't even know if I want to tell you this. You hold all the power. There are certain things we moms and dads can't control. We can't control when to potty train you. We can't. You have to figure out that little muscle on your own. We can't make you eat. I know that sounds weird. We can't. You decide what goes down your hatch. We can give you all the vegetables, the rainbow of colors, but you decide what you're going to swallow. And we can't make you follow Christ. We can bring you to church. We can pray with you. We can read Bible stories. We prepare and we guide you. Ultimately, though, that choice is you. And you're the one that chooses to follow Christ, to let him drive your life. We are all so proud of you and for making this decision. Thank you for allowing us to witness you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Savior. Thank you.
Happen here, Cora. You're going to step into the water, and you're going to sit down, and we're going to lay back this way. Okay?
Can I push
What's that?
Can I push
Yeah, why don't you? That way you won't get your shoes wet. Granted, they do look very waterproof.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Mine are not. See, it's warm, isn't it? Yeah. All right. I'm going to go this way. All right. Ooh, we don't have very far to go with you, do we? All right. Cora, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, because you are a new creation, we baptize you. Plug your nose there, if you would. We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Have your mom hand the towel. You get out okay? We did this in the river one time and we lost someone. That's not true. That goes with you. Here you go, Cora. Brittany, can I hand this to you too? I'm going to forget later otherwise. Same. All right, Ruby, you ready? Come on up. All right, this is Ruby, and Ruby's going to tell us how she came to know Jesus Christ.
I was in bed with my mom one night, and we were praying. It was like a year ago, and I wanted to know if I could get baptized.
So, yes, my name is Janelle. This is my 8-year-old daughter, Ruby, and it was about a year ago when we were praying in my bedroom together, and just, I don't even think we were talking about salvation at the time, and Ruby just looked at me and she said, Mom, can I accept Jesus into my heart? And I think the next words that came out of my mouth were, I think you just did, Ruby. So then we prayed, and then it was about a couple months ago, and she said she had wanted to get baptized when she heard that they were doing it at church. Ruby is very special to us and very special to Jesus' family because, number one, her joy, the joy that Ruby has been given from God is amazing. It takes a lot to bring her down. She doesn't really get sad very often, even if you are trying to punish her, trying to, you know, teach her, not punish her, but consequences, I should say that. But she's always joyous. She learns her lesson. She gets better. She's very thoughtful to others. My favorite story to tell about Ruby is when school started last year in September, she was told by her teacher, the whole classroom was told, you're going to make a journal every day, write it, dear mom and dad, this is what I did at school today. That's what her teacher told her. And, well, you could do it to anybody. She chose to do it to great-grandma, who at the time was in a nursing home. And as you all know, she, you know, locked down, and she wanted to write letters to her great-grandma every week. So I thought that was really special. She's very thoughtful towards others. She's always looking to do something kind to someone, and when someone is sad, she is usually the first one there to try to cheer him up or draw a picture or just smile at him. So that's why we love Ruby, and we're happy to have her as part of Jesus' family.
Very good. All right, Ruby, you ready for this? All right, step on over here. Just as we saw Cora do, slip off your flip-flop there. Okay. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Wow, that's almost chin deep right there, isn't it? We have some bigger people that need more water. All right, so can you plug your nose with one arm? There you go, just like that. All right, Ruby, because of your faith in Jesus Christ and your choice to follow him in the waters of baptism today, we'll baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Chris. The likelihood of this electronic stuff being affected by the water is very nil. Those who are worried about that. All right. Brody, I think, is my next on my list. All right, Broden, come on up. We have a nice group of high schoolers who are going to be being baptized today. Let's hear it, Broden.
Hello. As you know, my name is Broden McLean. I was baptized as a baby by my mom and dad. I'm standing here today being baptized because I want to make that commitment for myself. After my Providence missions trip, I felt this tug on my heart to be baptized, and at first I didn't know what to do. I was praying very hard in my bedroom, and then I just felt this tug that I just needed to talk to my mom and dad about being baptized. And so that's why I'm being baptized today.
So when we were on the airplane on the way to Providence, I was sitting next to Brody, and he regaled me with about 45 straight minutes of random facts about things that I had no idea how anyone could ever memorize at all. It was like he was a mini Kevin. It was really great, and he spoke with such authority and with such conviction and passion that I just assumed they were all true. I mean, it was great. But that reminded me of a 45-minute conversation that Brody and I had at Big Sandy Camp at Avalanche Camp here back in 2021 as well. And it was at that camp that Brody and I found ourselves just kind of disconnected from the rest of the group, and we were just chatting a little bit, and I asked him a question. I said, Brody, what's the gospel? And he kind of stuttered out a response a bit, and I pressed him with some questions. Students know that I like to press with follow-up questions, and we kept going deeper and deeper and peeling back all the layers. And after about 45 minutes, Brody had given me a complete and comprehensive picture of the gospel, as well as tying it into his own life and tying it into how he, as a believer in Christ, needs to live missionally here on this earth. And I was so wowed by that interaction, Brody, by that level of maturity, by that deep thinking that you had. It took us a while to get there, but man, the foundation was there. Fast forward a couple of months as we're preparing for this Providence missions trip, and I reached out to Brody and I said, hey, I think you should come. And he's like, And I'm like, Brody, I really think you should come. You got this, man. And he's like, I just want to obey. I can remember those words. He said, I just want to obey Jesus. And this has been a year of saying yes for Brody. And I'll be the first one to admit, something changed at Avalanche Camp in 2021. And there's something that is different about Brody. Not because he wasn't a new creation before, but because he's made a conscious commitment to continue saying yes to the Lord, no matter the cost, no matter the circumstance. And I heard it directly from his lips when we were in Providence. He said, my faith is real. So Brody, I took the liberty of praying through the scriptures here in preparation for this morning, and I have a verse that the Lord put on my heart for you. And you should totally memorize it. It's the end of Hebrews chapter 10 and the beginning of chapter 11, and it says this, starting in verse 39 of chapter 10, but we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Your faith is real, Brody. Your faith is real.
Don't get the stage wet. Or me. Carl. Here, let me take that. We're going to keep that handy right here. We've learned our lesson from Brody. Right there, ready for you. All right, Carl, let's hear it.
I've known Christ for since I was 6, and I don't know, I feel like for the last 2 years especially, I've grown closer and renewed my faith in him, and I know that this is the next step in my faith.
Carl, I can't tell you what a privilege it is to be able to stand here and speak to the congregation on your behalf this morning. It was a little over a year ago that I invited some of our senior high guys to come and help build a fire pit out back behind the youth house in preparation for some outdoor gatherings that we were going to do. And Carl was one of those young men that came and slaved away. I mean, worked for, you know, about 4 to 5 hours or so on that day. And what's cool about that is that I could have built that fire pit myself in a couple of hours. You guys did a phenomenal job with it, but it allowed us to connect, maybe in a way that we hadn't had an opportunity to connect before. Because with nearly 90 students that we serve, give or take a couple here at Alliance Youth, it's hard for me to connect with every single student in depth all of the time, though I make a pretty, you know, try hard effort at it on a weekly basis. So these types of interactions, when we can come together and get to know each other outside of the context of a youth group setting, I love those. And out of that, last fall in particular, you mentioned over the last 2 years that you've been beginning to renew your faith, take your faith more seriously. And there was something that happened last fall with Carl that I can pinpoint almost to the day exactly what it was. He was sitting inside the youth house on a Sunday morning grow group, and he asked a really, really deep question. And I went, wow, that came out of left field. I don't necessarily know the answer to that. I've got to get back to him on that. And I started to engage him in conversation and our other youth in conversation a little bit. And then he came back the following week, and he asked another really, really deep question. See where I'm going with this here? There's some wrestling that's going on in his heart last fall that I started to notice. And as we were going throughout the fall, Carl kept asking deep questions, a lot of them pertaining to sin, a lot of them pertaining to theology. And then Avalanche Camp rolls around. We love Big Sandy Camp here. And Carl and a couple of the other guys came this past winter to Avalanche Camp in 2021. And that let me get to know Carl more than any other facet or circumstance that we'd had up to this point in time. And let me tell you this. After that interaction at Avalanche Camp, I love Carl Gold. I love his heart. There is an innocence in Carl that is grounded in a desire for righteousness, in a desire to do the right thing, in a desire to be someone that not only his parents are proud of, but that Jesus is proud of. And it was almost like a switch flipped at Avalanche Camp in 2021. And Carl began to say yes to the Lord more audibly, to the point where I asked him to go to Providence, because after interacting with him and seeing how he was wrestling with his faith over last fall and seeing him just pour out and want to engage in the Christian life and the deeper life at Avalanche Camp and the deep conversations that we had in our small group times at Avalanche Camp, I said, Carl, man, I think you got to go to Providence. And he's like, no. I don't know if that's something that I want to do. But he was willing to give it a shot. He was willing to say yes. And he has said yes time and time and time again throughout this year here in 2021. And he has done things that have stretched him and that have made him uncomfortable. And I am so proud of you, Carl, for every time that you continue to say yes, even up to and including this day. And I am so excited to see what the Lord's going to do next. As I was praying through the scriptures, Carl, this verse came to mind. And you should totally memorize this one too. It's out of 1 Peter chapter 3. It's verses 14 through 15. And I'd like to speak this over your life now. But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. That's my prayer for you, Carl.
Have socks, but they are Nikes. Good work. You're so hip. All right, Carl. All right, go ahead. Yep, there you go. I'd get all. Are you that flexible? Get all the way on your bottom. I'm sorry. The microphone is on. That's better.
Plug your nose. Carl, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
That's okay. I'm not the one that cares the most about it. Your shoes are wet. Isaac, I'm forgetting to hand these out. For those families that I'm forgetting to hand these certificates out, see me afterwards. I have them all here. So let's wait for Pete to come. Oh, you're going to say first? Him first. Just take it easy. What? Just take it easy. No. I need someone to hold on to Pete here before he gets carried away. Okay, go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, so I've been taught to love Jesus ever since I was a little kid. But it wasn't until I was 8 or so, not 100% sure actually, that I officially said yes to the gospel. But I was at Big Sandy Camp actually, and it was the last night, and I don't even remember what the guy was talking about, but he had every kid come up that wanted to say yes to Christ being their savior. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'll do that. So I went up, he said a little prayer over us, and that was kind of my moment. At first I didn't really know what it meant, but as I've grown more in my faith, I've come to know more about what being a Christian means and what baptism means, and that it's not really an option, it's a command from God. So that's why I'm being baptized.
Your turn now, Pete.
Isaac, my brother. I asked him last week, I said, Isaac, how do you feel about having a relationship with a guy like me and having to call me brother? He wasn't really comfortable with it. He said, it's more like young Timothy and Methuselah. But, oh, man, I've watched you guys over the years, and it's such a wonderful thing to see you and your buddies here at church, all three of you, get baptized on the same day. You know, baptism is a very solemn time. It's a time of reflection and just analyzing yourself. Do you really want to make that commitment? And you've all done it, and that's a wonderful thing. My verse was out of Ephesians chapter 6, of all things, verse 13, where Paul, of course, as we all know the story of the account, talks about this armor that we have to wear. This armor that we have to put on to defeat the temptations and the trials and all the enemy can throw at us. And at the very end, in verse 13, he says, and having done all of these things, and having to put on all this armor, and in a sense, you see the struggle. He says, having done all, just to stand. So there's no end zone dance here in some of these life experiences that we go through. It's just to be able to stand and, in a sense, be humbly proud of yourself that you did stand. And God will honor you, and he will keep you. And as a brother, I'm always there for you. Always.
Thanks, Pete. Isaac, you are a new creation in Christ. Nothing will ever change that. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ and your choice to be baptized today, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Don't get the stage wet. Hank.
All I'm going to say today is that I'm getting baptized today because I want everyone to know that I love Jesus.
Excellent. Thanks, Hank. Are you both speaking?
All right. Well, I just said I'm the man of the house, so.
One of the beauties of Andrew speaking, just got to give a little heads up, you know, it's fun to see such a masculine guy get emotional.
So, thank you. Yeah.
That's right. Super. That's good. I bawled like a baby on my wedding day.
Uh-huh.
You can.
I cried more in front of this church than anywhere else, I think. But I just can't say how proud both me and Mom are of you and your decision to take this next step in your faith, and just watching the way you've changed and grown in your faith is amazing. You have other friends here with you that are the same age and close to you, and it's going to be fun to watch you guys grow up. So, Lindsay shows a verse for you.
So one of the things we love about you, Hank, is that you are who you are, and you're confident in that. And you're to the point. And the verse that we chose for you is to the point, and we hope it encourages you through your faith walk. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong.
Attaboy. It's all about camera angles. Grace. The LeClaires are going to park it here for a while. If she's more comfortable staying there with you, that's fine too.
In a Christian household, and I accepted Jesus when I was little, but I didn't quite understand it then. But since then, I have grown in my faith by going to youth group, having a Christian family and friends, and going to Bible camp. I decided to get baptized because my youth pastor talked about it at youth group and how it was a command, not an option. He also said it was something to show everyone that you are a Christian and you believe in Jesus. So that's what I'm deciding to do today.
All right, Grace. You too, we're very proud of you for your choice to do this, and to watch you cry in front of everybody makes me overjoyed. You have this uncanny ability to make other people around you just feel welcome and feel special, and I think the fact that you have friends here today is an example of that, and that they wanted to come and that you invited them and that they're here to support you. So...
So like Dad said, one of the things we love about you is that you're just a joy spreader. And we chose the verses Matthew 5:15-16, where it talks about the salt and the light. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all those to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father.
Welcome. Yeah, step in, sit on this side, feet this side. Or the opposite. Lots of people make the mistake of not following instructions. Your dad probably the most.
Go ahead and plug your nose, Grace. Grace, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Julia.
I dedicated my life to Jesus when I was younger. I was like 4 to 7 years old. My mom talked to me about it, and I just kind of dedicated my life to Jesus. And I don't think I understand the concept a whole bunch when I was that age, but I dedicated my life because my mom talked to me about it. And then I feel like once I got older and I understand the concept more, I started growing more, like, I pray more often now. I read my Bible more often now. And I understand the concept more. And I'm decided to take the next step in my faith and get baptized.
Julie, again, we're excited to see you get baptized. You process things in a way that I don't think I understand. And even the way you explained it just now, it makes me laugh because you're talking about concepts and of being baptized and following Jesus, which is amazing. And you challenge me with questions, and I love it. And I just encourage you to keep asking questions and to never be satisfied until you feel that voice inside or that voice of the Holy Spirit telling you what the answer is and saying, look here to find it, and not just trusting what other people say or what other people tell you. So I encourage you to just keep using your mind and processing in your heart and follow Jesus every step of the way.
Yeah, you're our deep thinker, and we love that. And sometimes you ask us questions that we don't know the answer to. And you're also thoughtful in your responses to others. And the verse we chose for you is 1 Peter 1:13. Prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Just you. All right, I'm going to give the same instructions to you that I did to Grace. Let's see how you do. Sit here, feet over here. Oh, well done. And then relax.
Yeah. Julie, you are a new creation in Christ. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Hi, Krista. There she is. Thanks, Andrew. Lindsay.
Okay. All right, so when I was younger, my grandmother kind of laid the foundation for me through my faith. It wasn't really until I started coming here when Derek and I were engaged that I really felt like I was growing in my faith. And then it's kind of been on my heart for a while to be baptized. I think what really encouraged me to do it was the 2020 year that I went through, I guess. Some of you may know the story. Joetta definitely knows the story. But from start to finish, I feel like we went through so many big life changes that when during the middle of it, it was kind of no big deal. But now looking back on it, I'm like, wow, how did I get through that? And I know that it was through my faith and my love for Christ.
Krista, you told me your faith has been a journey. From your Grandma Dolores and Grandma Wanda planting those initial seeds to Auntie Lisa inviting you to come check out Little Falls Alliance Church 11 years ago. Little did you know that checkout would be such a beautiful time of growth in your faith journey. So much has happened here with this church family. 10 years ago, just this last Friday, you stood right here and married your best friends. You've welcomed 3 beautiful babies, and as a church, we've dedicated to help them grow in Christ. You teach our children about Christ's love, so it only makes sense that today we get to share this amazing day with you as well. Krista, you wear your heart on your sleeve. I think you proclaimed to live your life for Christ a long time ago, but I'm proud of you for proclaiming him in front of all of us, your Lord and Savior today. You are a fantastic example,
to not only your own children, but to all of our babies. We love you.
All right, Chris, or Jordan's got your towel. Sit here, feet over here. Sit here, feet here.
Okay.
There's been a miscommunication somewhere along the lines a couple of times. What?
A little bit.
Well, we should have put you first. It's cooled off then. Krista, you are a new creation in Christ, and nothing will ever change that. Because of your choice to follow him and follow him in the waters of baptism today, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Michaela. I've left my towel sitting here, so everyone comes out and steps on it. It's soaked. Go ahead, Michaela.
So I've always been a believer in God. My parents had raised me that way, but I've never really been a follower, which are two very different things, as I had realized in my walk in faith. God works in really crazy ways, so it wasn't... Oh, sorry. God works in really crazy ways, so it wasn't until he had blessed me with motherhood that he had used that to lead me back to him.
I'm never a man of few words if you talk to me individually, but up in front of people, I can clam up in a hurry. But anyway, I was thinking of Michaela. She asked me yesterday, you know, to do this. I didn't prepare a big speech, so it's impromptu. But I just remember the day she was born, little, vulnerable, and I had to take care of her. And you go through life, there's a lot of struggles, a lot of hard times we went through. And I would take her out, and we had these rides we'd take in a car for hours and talk to her about some of her decisions and where we go from here. I was her teacher in school. She had to put up with me all the time. And there was a few times I had to go into the principal with her and deal with things. And I just remember, like, trust in God, we're going to get through this. And you go through life, you see her grow, bad times, good times, happy times. But then the day comes where she makes a decision like this. Now I can back off a bit, and I can let God take control, knowing she made a decision to follow him, and boy, it's going to bring some peace in my life, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Frank. I'm proud as well, Michaela. This is wonderful. Do you want glasses on or off? All right. Sit here, feet here. Michaela, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Because of your choice to follow Christ and your decision to follow him in the waters of baptism today, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jake. Jake is, many of you may know Michaela because she kind of grew up here. Jake is relatively new to the church, and he's quickly become one of my favorite people. So if you don't know Jake yet, I would encourage you to get to know Jake. All right. Let's hear it, Jake.
I'm here today to join alongside with Michaela and everybody else to announce my closer relationship with Jesus. I believe he did a lot for us and giving his life up for us and sacrificing himself to give us that hope that one day we can visit him in heaven. I kind of wanted to keep it short, but my experience I had was having a dream about him, which I've never had before. And I was standing there with him. I don't know where it was, but you know, everything in the background was pure white. And I was I could see Jesus. He was standing there. His face was kind of shadowed out a little bit, but he had his white robe on, and he was talking to me. He wasn't moving his mouth or anything like that. I could just hear his voice. And I was helping him gather up little baby lambs in this little pen, and I just wanted to help him. It wasn't even a question. I wasn't like, no, I got other stuff to do. It was just my devotion to him. Like, yes, of course, I want to do this for you. And long story short, kind of woke up, and what I got from that was I want to experience that again. I want to be closer to him, and I want to spend the rest of my life with him. So that brought me to realize I want to continue my faith and become closer with him and give my life to him.
Are you speaking?
Yes.
You didn't ask Frank last minute?
No.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
Did you ask Michaela last minute? Okay, good.
Yeah, he was the more planned one for the first time ever. So. But Jake asked me to talk for him, and I just want to kind of say one thing is that through this walk that we've both been on together, it's been happening simultaneously, and he definitely has become the godly man of the house, like the one that I read about in the Bible when I was little. Like, he's the man that I dreamed of when I was little to like lead us in our faith and to lead our daughters in our faith. So I'm really proud of you.
Thanks, Michaela. I'm proud of you too, Jake. You bet. I've been able to have the joy of working with Michaela and Jake kind of throughout some of this journey, and it is absolutely fabulous. It's been so fun to get to know them both better, but then to even culminate at this moment here with your choice to be baptized. Jake, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And because of your decision to follow him and follow him in the waters of baptism today, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Here you go, man.